Psalm is Psalm 122b. I would call on you as the people of God to rejoice with me as I say, let us come to the house of God. What is the house of God? It is His people. It is His people assembled. And here you are, those who have been called out of darkness, those who have been called into life and have been called into light. We come together and He blesses us with His special presence as His children assemble, as we sing His word to Him, and as His word is preached. As people with new hearts receive His word. In this psalm, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and say, may those who love you prosper. And who are the ones who love Him? It's you. As we sing the psalm, we say, God, please prosper us and bless us. Because we are the ones who have loved you. And how do you have this blessing? You have this blessing because you are the children of God, saved through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us rejoice together and let us stand and sing Psalm 122b. Please pray with me. Our great and powerful Lord, we thank You that You have called us out of darkness and that You have called us into Your marvelous light. We thank You, Father, for Your amazing promise to be with us when we assemble in Your name. And Father, we call upon You now to honor Your word, to be with us, to dwell in our midst, because we are Your children. We are the ones that You have loved. And our Father, we ask for Your blessing on this assembly. We pray, God, that You apply Your word to our hearts and that You draw us closer to You. We pray, Father, for this foretaste of heaven. Because we are Your children that You have loved. And we assemble in Your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've changed the scripture reading to Isaiah 53. The sermon will be coming from 1 Peter 4, dealing with our suffering in relationship to Christ's suffering. And Isaiah 53 lays out the suffering of Christ to give us context there. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for their transgressions. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Father, we tremble as we thank you for his suffering that brings us healing, that saves the world. And Father, we pray that our suffering will help us. Help us to draw close to you and to draw close to Christ. Father, we lift up those who are suffering. We lift up the churches who have suffered because of the storms. We lift up the people who have suffered because of earthquakes. And Lord, we pray that those who are suffering now will be drawn close to you so that you will be glorified. Father, we pray for those around the world who are suffering for the gospel. Those who take your word and bring it into dark regions, where they will be afflicted, where they will be persecuted, And we pray, Father, for their protection. Lord, we lift our own family members to you who are rejecting your Son, who reject your gospel, those who still live under your wrath. And we pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit, that you will save them, Lord, and that you will make us faithful witnesses to bring your gospel, to shine your light, and to bring your truth. And we pray, Father, that you will save them. Father, we lift our nation to you and ask that you bring us to repentance. We ask for forgiveness for our own shortcomings, where we have not proclaimed, where we have not been faithful. And Lord, we pray that you will turn our nation around and make it a nation that recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of heaven and the King of earth. Father, we lift the churches without pastors to you, especially College Hill right now, as they search for a senior pastor. We pray for wisdom. We pray for direction. We pray for the session in their search. And we pray for the man that you have prepared. God, please prepare the man for the church and the church for the man. And may you be glorified as this ministry is built and people are drawn closer and closer to you. And Father, as the international conference comes close, Lord, we lift those who are working diligently and even those who have been procrastinating. We pray for strength. We pray for direction. We pray for your peace. Father, we lift all these prayers up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 33a. Please turn with me there. Psalm 33a says, "Sing joyfully, you righteous." Well, who is righteous? Are you righteous? There's none good but God alone. You are those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, you can sing joyfully. Because of that, you can rejoice. This psalm calls us to make music with a vast array of instruments. This is just a foreshadowing of what you now have the opportunity to do. It's a psalm with your hearts. To offer Christ the praise of your lips in the assembly of God. We praise the Lord who loves righteousness and justice. The psalm declares the earth is filled with His loving kindness. This is His faithfulness. His faithfulness to you. By His word He created everything. So let the world fear and stand in awe. And let us stand together and sing Psalm 33a. Our next psalm is Psalm 126a. In the psalm we sing of the people rescued from slavery in Egypt. Well, you are those who have been rescued from captivity. Because of this, our tongues should be filled with laughter and singing. We shall sow in tears of repentance, and we shall reap in joy, because we are those who have been rescued. You may remain seated, and let's sing Psalm 126a. Sermon this evening comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. If you would turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts, that we would set aside our own presuppositions, all the thoughts that we bring, and just receive what you bring. That you would show us how to apply your gospel to our lives. And that you would show us how to apply these particular truths to our lives, so that you will be glorified, so that we will live as faithful children. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These passages deal with suffering and the way that you are to respond to suffering. Do you know anyone who has fallen away because of hard times? I knew a young man named Joe. He was a long-haired, dripping pagan. And I shared the gospel with him. His life was a mess. He went from home to home, living with friends and family, as long as they would have him, until they would kick him out. Then he would look for somewhere else to live. I established a relationship with Joe. I shared the gospel with him, but he wasn't able to receive it at that time. Later, I heard that Joe had received Christ, that he was saved. And I looked for him, and I couldn't find him because of his lifestyle. But when I finally caught up to him, he had fallen away. See, his best friend had committed suicide. And because of that, he wanted nothing to do with Christ. Because of that, he wanted nothing to do with the gospel. You see, suffering is a reality for everyone. But the question is, how do you respond to it? Is it something that drives you away from Christ? Or is it something that drives you to Christ? You see, someone had sold Joe a false gospel. They said, Joe, if you just pray this prayer, everything will be great and God has a wonderful plan for your life. What they should have told Joe was, Joe, your life is a train wreck. What I should have told Joe was, your life is a train wreck. you pray to receive Christ, your life might still be a mess. Terrible things are still going to come. Terrible things are still going to happen. But Christ suffered too. And in your suffering, arm yourself with the mind of Christ. You see, suffering has purpose. Suffering is real. As I say this now, I can almost picture this whole setting as a movie. And the camera would come and settle on one of you, and a little six-year-old would look up, and he would think of the day that a picnic was canceled because of rain, and it was the worst day of his life, and it was suffering. The camera might settle on an older Christian, and they look up, and they think of when they lost a spouse. And it was suffering. But what do you do with your suffering? You see, as a Christian, you should expect it. You should know that it'll come, and I don't want to make it sound light. I don't want to make it sound easy, because it is hard. We live in a fallen world where the stain of sin afflicts us every day, our own sin and other people's sin. The sin of Adam causes disease and causes suffering and causes death. But in these hard times, you must trust Christ. This is what it is to arm yourself with the mind of Christ, knowing that suffering produces fruit and suffering has a purpose. Look with me at 1 Peter 4:4. Here we see one kind of suffering that you can expect. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. Part of your suffering will be the unbeliever who will hate you because you will strive for good. It'll even be the family member who will despise you because you run after righteousness and you do not do the things that they do. We see in verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." But he also said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So as you face your suffering, as you expect it, either it's been on you, you've just come through one, or you are in one now, or to be the bringer of doom and the dark prophet, one is right around the corner. Expect it. Expect it. And prepare your heart so that you will run to Christ. Now, some pain, as I mentioned, is the product of the fallen world. Some is the product of selfish people. Some pain is the product of you being righteous. When you are persecuted by others. So because of these things, you must evaluate the cause of your suffering. Look with me at verse 15. "If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler." You see, suffering is the result of sin. Adam's sin, somebody else's sin. Sometimes your sin very often. So you must take a good, hard look at your pain and decide why you hurt. You see, some pain is the trials that God brings, but some pain is God's discipline. We sin, so we hurt. When one of our children sin, they hurt. Because we bring them discipline. So often in our own lives, we are like the child who just disobeyed, is being disciplined, and we rub our backside and say, "Why do I hurt?" The reality is, it's because we've been disobeying. So evaluate your suffering. Evaluate your pain. And if you find yourself suffering because of your own failures, stop it. So easy. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Like God told Cain, "You know the right thing to do. If you do it, won't you be accepted?" Like the child who keeps disobeying. Yes, you know if you do A, B, or C, you will be disciplined. As God has laid out in His Word, love me with all your heart. Obey me with all your heart. And there you find joy. See, this is part of arming yourself with the mind of Christ. Where was Christ's joy? Christ's joy was in doing the will of the Father. So arm yourself with this. Verses 1 through 3, if you'd look with me there. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Give up your sins. Give them up. The dark things from the past that you cling to. The things from the old man. Give them up. You see, when you were rescued by Christ, when you were saved, you were a stinking corpse and you were brought from the grave and you were made alive. And your wretched grave clothes were stripped off of you and a robe of righteousness was placed on you. And now you shine as a new creature wearing Christ's righteousness. But when we sin, we sneak back to the grave that we were rescued from. We dig around and we find our old stinking clothes. And we wrap them around us and we crawl back into the grave and lay there. It's a disgusting image. And so is your sin. So leave the dead things to the dead and live for righteousness. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. You see, but just not doing things isn't enough. So often we just make this list. Okay, I used to do A, B, C, and D. And I can get rid of A, B, C, and maybe D. most of the time. But this list isn't what it's all about. Look with me at verses 8 through 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, when you're saved, it's not just, oh, I'm a Christian now, and now I go ahead and live my life as normal. It is a completely new life with a completely new focus. Your life should look completely different from everyone else, from the unbelievers. Not because you're trying to look different. Not because you're not doing A, B, C, and most of the time you're not doing D. But because you're a new creature. Because now you love God and you desire to serve Him. Because you love God and you desire to put off your sin. That is why your life looks different. And it is about doing new things. Loving people in a new way. Ministering to people in a new way. He calls it here being a steward of God's grace. That means you are given God's grace to take care of, God's grace to use, and to share with others. See, being a Christian is a lot like being a superhero, being on a superhero team. When you build a superhero team, you've got your smart leader, and you get your strong guy, and you get your person that can fly, and your person that has these different powers, so they can use them in different situations. You see, when Christ saved you, He gave you gifts. He gave you abilities. See, when a hero team gets in trouble, oh no, the door's locked. It's no big deal because you have your strong guy and he knocks the door down. See, we see this and it works out really nicely at Presbytery. Oh no, we have a problem with justification. We call Dr. Gamble. And we send in this team. It should look the same way in the church. It should work out the same way in the church's life. We have this problem here. And you know that one of you has been specially equipped with a special gift of God's grace to minister to this person, to minister to this situation. In this, you are a steward of God's grace. Given special talents, special abilities to use this grace. And we see here, why? For the glory of God in Christ Jesus. What is more perfect? What is more beautiful? What is a higher calling than to be a steward of God's grace? Look with me at verses 13 and 14. but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest on you. Now it sounds like such a strange thing to rejoice in suffering. Because your suffering is so real. The pains you face are so real. So I do not lightheartedly say, rejoice in your suffering. But I do say, because Christ says, rejoice in your suffering. Because this is arming yourself with the mind of Christ. You see, suffering has a purpose. Suffering draws you to Christ. Suffering gives you the opportunity to minister to others. And when you suffer, the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests on you. This is the reality of your suffering, and this is the purpose of your suffering. When you are lonely, when you are hated, when you feel afflicted and cast off by God, the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So you can rejoice in your suffering. And you do this in Christ. Because all that you suffer, Christ has known. Do that TV screen thing for a moment. When you're looking up and your thoughts are there and you're thinking of your suffering, Christ is with you through this. Christ knows what you face. And His Spirit is with you. There's a reason the Scriptures say we sow in tears and we reap in joy. And the ability to rejoice in suffering is not natural, but it is supernatural. The power that comes to only you as those who put their trust in Christ. Now look with me at verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. The word there for commit means entrust, and the word translated themselves is psukai, their souls. When you are suffering, entrust your soul to God. What is more intimate, what is more personal, what is more powerful than knowing God holds your soul through your trial? And that you can trust Him. None of these things that you face can separate you from the love of God. And in fact, 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, this is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. So now as you look at your life and as you evaluate how you have been responding to suffering, and you see the changes that you need to make, commit yourself to making those changes now. Commit yourself to those trials that you face now, that you will entrust your soul to God through them, that you will even rejoice through them, because God has a purpose in them. Know that a trial is around the corner, and commit to entrusting it to God, to arming yourself with the mind of Christ in this suffering. Make your change. Verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Verse 17 says, "For it is time for the judgment to begin with the family of God, and it begins with us." See, a lot of people are tired and they're skeptical of the end is near song. But truthfully, it is. I had a cousin who passed away recently. She was in her 20s. No one saw it coming. And I get a phone call. "Amanda is dead," is the message on the other line. And the first thing I thought was, my cousin has gone before the throne of God. The time to make changes in your life, the time to commit to changes, is now. The sins that cause you pain, put them off. The suffering that you wallow in, and wallow in self-pity, it's time for the supernatural change to end it. It is time to arm yourself with the mind of Christ and to rejoice in your suffering. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for all that You have done. We thank You for the grace that You have given us. We thank You for the suffering of Christ. And we thank You that in the midst of our own suffering, we can cling to You. That we can entrust our very souls to You. And that we can rejoice, because we look forward to a great day. The day when we are made perfect in You. So help us to strive, Father. Help us to strive to line our lives up, to line our thinking up, to line our hearts up with Your Word. Not because we're not doing sin A, B, and C, and D, but because we love You and we want to obey You and obey Your Word from our hearts, so that You, Father, will be glorified in our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 51E. Psalm 51E, we ask God to forgive our sins. We all know that without the shedding of blood, that is life-given, there is no forgiveness of sins. So even as we ask for God to forgive our sins, we're making reference to Christ and our place in Christ. And we cry out to God, "Create in me a new heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of salvation And we see that all of this isn't just ingrown. This isn't just something that's done to us and it's just something we ask for ourselves. But in Psalm 51e, we say, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways." You see, this grace has purpose in your life. This grace and this forgiveness and this strength and this new heart is to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, "And then sinners will be converted." And this is the purpose of our salvation and the purpose of our forgiveness, for Christ to be glorified in the salvation of others. Let us stand and sing Psalm 51e. Remain standing for the pastoral blessing, and you'll be dismissed by that. Blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.